Good morning and welcome to Bible Storyland. We're so happy you could join us this morning. Today is August the 27th, and we're thanking God for giving us life and life more abundantly this morning. It is Children's Day, and we are so happy this morning for each of you to be on with us. We have children this morning that are on. They're going to be performing this morning. So we're so happy that all of you could join us. You know, God, I thank the Lord for what he's doing for us. So let's talk to the Father in prayer this morning and acknowledge him and his holy presence. So, Father God, we just honor your holy presence this morning. We come before you with a repentant heart this morning, O God. And, Father, we're human and subject to sin, but you are holy and divine, and we thank you for being a forgiving Father. And, Father, we just thank you this morning for your divine presence, because there's truly nothing we can do without you, O God. You are our strength. You are our refuge, O God. We ask you to have mercy upon us this morning, O God. Father God, visit every home, especially those that are represented here on the radio this morning, but every home throughout the United States. And, Father, we just thank you for what you're doing throughout the world, O God. Father, we lift up families everywhere in the United States and in the world, O God. Have mercy upon us, O God. Oh, cover us under the shadow of your mighty wings. Thank you for protecting us, O God. Thank you for your strength, strengthening us, O God. We thank you for your mighty power, Father God. We thank you for protection for every family member, O God, particularly our children, O God. Have mercy, O God, as they go to school, as they come home. Protect them, O God. Help them to make wise choices, O God. Bless their parents, Father God. Be with them daily, O God. And, Father, we just honor you for your great and mighty presence this morning. We thank you for what you're about to do on Bible Storyland, O God. We thank you, Father God, for everyone who's participating and those who are listening, O God. We ask you to touch each of us this morning. Bless us in a mighty way, O God. So have your way this morning, O God. We humble ourselves before you, and we just thank you for strengthening us. We lift up the elderly this morning, O God. Have your way, Father God. Keep them healthy. Keep them strong, O God. And we thank you, Father God, for all that you've done thus far, O God. Father God, you know all about Irene, the storm that's brewing, Father God. We ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to cover your people, Father God, so that they're not greatly affected by the storm. Prepare them. Prepare supplies for them. Make sure they have all the supplies that they need, O God. Cover them under the shadow of your mighty wings, O God. Be their protector, O God. We just thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for no flooding coming forth, O God. We thank you, Father God, for making sure they have the water they need, the supplies that they need, O God. And we just honor your holy presence this morning. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. We bless you. We honor you. We give you praise and we give you thanksgiving in the holy, righteous, mighty name of Jesus. We just thank you for what you're going to do. Have your way this morning, O God. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this morning we want to continually honor God and give him all the glory, all the praise. He is the Most High God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And, you know, he loves children. He said, let the children come to him. So we're thanking him this morning for blessing the children. His word says that Let the children come. Don't stop the children. You know, sometimes you say, oh, well, they're too young. No, no, no. God loves them, and he wants them to come to him as early as they can say, I want Jesus. I want to be saved. You know, children will tell you things, and you think, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. But I promise you, if God have them say that, they know what they're talking about. So many children God has touched at an early age and saved them. So allow the children to come to him. Bless the children. You know, speak well of them. When we speak negative things to our children, we do the opposite of blessings. We curse in them. So let's not curse our children. Let's speak blessings upon our children each and every day. And I want to thank the Father that he blessed the children. And he told us in his word, he said, to bless the children. All right, there's some more people that's coming on. I'm putting you on live. You press 1. But remember, you're on live on the radio. Any talking around you, any noise around you, it will come live on the radio. So if you don't want the noise to come forward, please put your phone on mute. And we're so happy that you're on with us this morning. So today we are going to speak blessings over our children. We decree and declare that our children are blessed and highly favored of God. Our children are 10 times smarter than all of their friends. Our children are safe and protected. Our children are healthy and happy emotionally, physically, as well as spiritually. Our children are productive and successful. Our children live in healthy environments, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Our children are obedient to their parents and those who have rule and authority over them. Our children will give their lives to the Lord Jesus at an early age. Our children love Father God with all their heart, soul, and strength, and God has given them the ability to love their neighbors like they love themselves. So I just thank God for every gift, every talent that he has put within our children. So, you know, God our Father is so good. He's so kind. He's so merciful. And he's everlasting. He not only loves us when we are young, but no matter what age we are, he still loves us. And God highly esteems our children. Now this morning, I'm looking for a woman of God who's going to sing for us this morning, Sister Jackie. I'm looking for her this morning. I don't see her on right now. Jackie, if you're on, press 1 so that, okay, there she is. Hold on, Jackie. She's going to sing to the glory of God and give him praise this morning. Good morning, Sister Jackie. How are you?
Good morning. I am blessed this morning to be alive. I'm just glad to be here. I'm okay.
Amen. She's from Jacksonville, Florida, and she's going to sing a song this morning. All right. Let God have his way.
All righty. I thought about a lot of different songs that we used to sing when we were kids, but I said this is the adult show, too, so we can sing a different song today, and I'm just so happy that you have me on here all the time to sing. I don't know what to do. Thank you so much. So
thank
we're just going to get started. The Jesus
right.
in me loves the Jesus in you. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. It's so easy. It's so easy. It's so easy. Easy to love. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. It's so easy, so easy, it's so easy. It's so easy, it's easy to love. And I know a little song we used to sing when we were kids, and it was so cute, but I have to sing it for you all. It said, he found me. He found me, and I'm glad, and I'm glad. He found me, and I'm glad, and I'm glad. 'cause I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. Hallelujah! I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. Then I'm gonna walk the streets of glory. I'm gonna walk the streets of glory one of these days. Hallelujah! I'm gonna walk the streets of glory. I'm gonna walk the streets of glory one of these days. It's a favorite part. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me one of these days. Hallelujah! I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me one of these days. Thank you so much for having me on, Sister Caritha. I hope all the children can relate to those songs, and the grown-ups can relate to the Jesus in me, love the Jesus in you. And we are going to speak positive things into our children. I'm trying to do that more and more every day, but I'm not doing it enough. But please pray for my family, pray for my patients, and pray for me. Thank you so much. I have to go. Thank you. Love you.
All right, that's Jackie Travis from Jacksonville, Florida. Thank you so much for those two great songs you sang. You know, when God placed us in our mother's womb, he placed a purpose in each one of us. Our purpose began to develop as we grew from one age to adulthood. The word of God says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Today we have another great woman of God on who seeks God with all of her heart. This woman of God is, you know, the word says, to whom much is given, much is required. This woman of God is and has been required to do much, much, much. And so we're thanking God for her. She was city councilwoman in New Orleans, and now she has been promoted by God. You know, promotion don't come from the east, the west, the north, or the south, but directly from God. So God has promoted her to be the senator of Louisiana, and her name is Senator Cynthia Willard Lewis. So she's going to share with us about a little bit about Katrina. This is the sixth anniversary of Katrina, and she's also going to pray for the children this morning. Good morning, Senator Willard Lewis.
Good morning, Caritha, and to all of the listening audience of the Bible Storyland program. We're so blessed to be with you this morning.
We're happy to have you with us. So you're going to share a little bit about Katrina this morning, and then we're going to ask you to pray for the children. And we have some children coming on later that's going to be singing, and we have Shireen Brown that's coming on. She's going to be bringing the word. So I'm waiting for Shireen to come on. All righty. So we're ready to listen, Senator.
Well, thank you, Caritha. And first of all, I am just very humbled and honored to share with your audience and to thank all of our friends and our family members from around the United States who have continued to support, lift up, and help the city of New Orleans. August 29, 2005 was a devastating day in the history of our great city, which has understood and withstood much calamity and physical tragedy, from fires to scarlet fever to epidemics. The city of New Orleans is one of America's oldest cities, and for those 300 years that we have existed, we have dealt with Mother Nature, and we've also dealt with diseases of man that have been brought over because we were a port city in our early developmental years. But through it all, by the grace of God, the city of New Orleans is resilient, is strong, and is great. And we're just so blessed that as an international city, we have friends from around the world who come to our aid and who remember us in their prayers before the Lord. So I just wanted to share that point of reflection and observation and gratitude, because New Orleans was really knocked down on her knees by the tremendous physical devastation of Katrina. But we were lifted up by the spiritual and emotional support of men, women, yes, and children who came from all around the world to help us. More volunteers poured into the city of New Orleans in those dark days. Young students came on their college spring break. They came on their summer break. Families came in lieu of going to trips to Disney World and other places of fun and recreation. They came as families to say, I can make a difference in the sorrow and suffering of another family. And they helped rebuild in whatever way that they physically could. And it is a story of connection and commitment and care and concern that we can never forget and we should never forget. So as the now state senator for the city of New Orleans, representing New Orleans East in the historic Lower Ninth Ward and preparing to represent the areas of our great city, of our great state, from St. Bernard Parish all the way to Marrero in Jefferson Parish, as I am now on the campaign trail again and ask for your prayers, I want to say we have been blessed by the Jesus in so many, recognizing the Jesus in New Orleans and coming to our aid. And because we understand we have been so blessed, every year now, since August 29th, 2005, the city of New Orleans pauses for a moment and gives a profound note of thanks to the world. Firstly, to our God, who, while we lost so many lives, spared so many lives. And then to all of our friends who continue to visit and help us, but mostly for our families who with great courage and commitment have returned. Our families continue to come back to the city that they love, to the neighborhoods that they grew up in, to the culture that they embrace and that they wish to impact and impart to their children. And so, again, the numbers continue to grow. And we're just, again, very blessed and very encouraged. On this coming Monday, August the 29th, beginning at 8:30, in the historic Lower Ninth Ward, at the foot of the bridge, the Judge Sieber Bridge, which was the pathway out for so many of our families stuck on rooftops, we will have a solemn remembrance of those whom we have lost. More than 1,600, and in particular from the Dr. Martin Luther King Elementary School, we lost 22 students. Students who attended that school, who performed at that school, who were young children of excellence, of promise and potential. In the ravages of the water, the storm surge, and the devastation, more than 22 babies died in Katrina. We remember them. And we see them as little angels, points of light, helping to rebuild their schools and their communities. And so we're just grateful to God for the fact that while 22 babies left us, so many other babies have come to us. And we work every day for the future for those babies. But with that, Caritha, we will have a very beautiful program of remembrance, reflection, and reunion, because every year so many families come into the city during that time to reconnect to their friends, to reconnect to the culture that they love, and to reconnect to to the sacred space at the foot of the bridge, the Danziger Bridge, where the greatest devastation in the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana occurred. A tidal storm surge of more than 22 feet that toppled and just crashed upon houses, upon buildings, with the break in the hurricane levee protection system. And I would say that as we have those horrible pictures, those visual images of total devastation and annihilation, there is today many hopeful images of restoration and of construction and of resilient rebuilding, of energy efficiency homes, of a storm protection barrier out in the Mississippi River Gulf outlet that is 23 feet into the sky, of hurricane walls that have been redesigned and rebuilt with T-storm strategies and best practices of engineering construction and engineering protocols that make New Orleans safer. But I agree with our president. I agree with all of the mayors and the governors along the East Coast. Be prepared with a plan and with an action agenda that makes your people safe. And so even as we prepare to commemorate the six-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina on Monday, August the 29th, in the city of New Orleans, we are praying today for our friends along the East Coast, and we observed with great emotional intensity the weather as it was preparing to hit North Carolina. And we thank God for all of the prayer warriors and all of the praying people, because that hurricane system went from a hurricane category 3 down to a 1 as it hit the coast of eastern America. And we're so grateful for that, because we understand the strength, the veracity, the intensity, the levels of destruction that could have been caused by a 3. But I just want to encourage the people of God to pray when the signal is blown that danger is imminent upon any of our brothers or sisters. We who are the body of Christ come together and pray against the God of principalities and the evils that are potentially looming. We pray for the welfare of our brothers and our sisters. We pray for their safety, and we pray for their strength. And we see that it has downgraded, and so we know that with that, the devastation has been downgraded. And while we understand that there has unfortunately been one loss of life as the storm on yesterday with the surge in the waters was preparing to hit North Carolina, while we grieve over that loss of that one life, and we support that family of that unfortunate and tragic victim, we want to just thank God that he has spared and protected so many others. But it is, again, the preparation of the cities, the municipalities, the small towns, the mayors, the governors, the FEMA, the National Guard, the Red Cross, as well as led by the call of action from our President Barack Hussein Obama of these United States, that nothing should be taken for granted, that we must be on alert, and it appears as if the people have responded. And with that, the call for the community to uplift and take care of the vulnerable population, our elderly, our brothers and sisters who do not have great resources and respond and an ability to respond with capacity, such as men and women who have roadworthy automobiles, or brothers and sisters who perhaps are not in such strong, resilient housing in high, elevated places. They may be in trailers, or they may be in vulnerable homes due to age or just due to poor construction. And so, again, for us as children of God, to look out for those who may need help in getting out of harm's way, and to be an angel of light to them as well. There is so much that I could say about the children, because as we as adults get ready for devastation. Many times, our first point of motivation is, I must make my children safe. I must make my children safe. That thought should be with us 24/7, that not only when the president of the United States or the governor of the state or the mayor of the city has a call to action that there is imminent danger, but we as adults, we as the elders of the village must be mindful that our children are always at risk, because the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. And so I am blessed to acknowledge and realize and thank my mother, my grandmother, who prayed for me when I was a child, constantly, and all my brothers and sisters, as the oldest of 12, they prayed for us. We had praying parents who called out our name before the Lord, and we had a community of support that spoke life into who we were and what we could be and how we could serve one another, our family, our community, giving honor and glory to our God. And oftentimes we don't realize that even as the little babies are walking around, so many of the things that we are saying to them are taking root in their spirit. We have to always speak hope and possibility and promise over our children. We have to always speak life into them, because faith comes by hearing. And we have to tell them what they can do. And even when we give them admonishment, guidance, direction, discipline, we have to say it in a way that instructs and edifies rather than a way that destroys. And yes, all children need correction. All children have moments when they are perhaps not doing as they ought. But it is up to us. And it takes patience. It takes practice. It takes just a commitment for us to continue to do that. And even as I share this with you, I have to repent before the Lord, because I am a mother and I am a grandmother. And I want my words to be words of life and edification for my children and my grandchildren. And so I repent before the Lord for when I didn't say it right, when I didn't get it right. But you know, Donnie McClurkin says, we fall down, but we get up. So I'm giving it to the Lord, that the things that I might not have said incorrectly, that the Lord of that the Lord uproots all of those remembrances and pulls them out by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ just seal that and fill that, and that I can go back with words of light and words of instruction. Because our children learn from the instruction of our elders, and we as women are taught to give instruction to the young women around us, and that is what I try to do every day, because our girls are hurting even as our boys are hurting. And I'm very mindful of the fact that you have organized a beautiful program, and that there are many other speakers. And so, again, I want to thank all of your listening audience. On Monday, August 29th, even as the world is now, the nation is now focused on a hurricane called Irene, there will be many people in the city of New Orleans remembering and reflecting over Hurricane Katrina. And what we ask is that you pray for us on that day, that all that has not been done by man will be accomplished by God. We continue to be rebuild. We continue to restore. Neighborhoods are coming back. Homes are being rebuilt. Schools are being dedicated. But this is all to the glory of God, because the historic Lower Ninth Ward was supposed to be destroyed. There was a plan for it to become green space. But with the strength and the voice and the commitment of so many, it is now being rebuilt. And the children are singing. And at Martin Luther King School in the historic Lower Ninth Ward, we have had President George Bush visit. We have had President Barack Obama visit. We have had First Lady Laura Bush visit. And so the school that would not exist has been a point of presidential visitation from one administration to another. So we know man might say no, but God will say yes. And that is what we have to tell our share and share to our children. August 29th, remember us, pray for us, and keep us in your hearts, because you all are in our hearts. And if you have not come home, if you have been in another space wishing to come back to New Orleans, we want you to know that we are remembering you fondly. And the city is not the same without you. But we know that everything at the right time and in the right way, and God will direct one's footsteps. So for all of our brothers and sisters who are still in Texas and in Mississippi and in even Baton Rouge or in Florida or in other communities who love New Orleans but who are safely at home in another space, we want you to know we miss you and we love you. And we are waiting for your return at the right time and in the right way. Caritha,
Yes.
I heard you ask me to say a prayer for the children.
Yes.
And I just want to be mindful of your timeline.
Oh, could you just say a little brief prayer for the children?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you. And right now, Father God, we are going to come on one accord. We are going to be united as the elders of the village to say, to declare, to decree, to profess, to proclaim that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we call down fire on the children of our families, the children of our children, and the children yet unborn. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for the power and the authority to speak to the demonic influences around the lives of our children and to say that you have no power, no authority, no right, and no rule. And we, the powers of light, the agents of the Lord God, now cancel every assignment in the name of Jesus, and we ask and beg and pray, Lord God, that you would send a hedge of protection around our children, that you would give them ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord God, even as from our mouths we speak life and life more abundantly on our children, no more, Lord, will it be words of what you cannot do, but it will be words of through the grace of God you are able to do. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the great gifts that you have given to us in our children. We see them, Lord, as cherished gifts, precious gifts. Gifts, Lord God, that you saw something in us that said, we should give hope to the world, and we should build a future. Lord God, we receive that as validation for us, the mothers and the fathers who have given the children to the world. Lord God, help us be better parents. Help us be better grandparents. Help us be better great-grandparents. Lord, and you tell and you say to us every day that your grace is sufficient. Oh, thank you, Father, for so many times we have worried, we have wondered, where would the resources come? But, Lord God, we say back to you that you are our resource, you are our difference, you are our enabler. And so, Lord God, we take now the treasured and precious gifts of our children, and we draw them closer to our heart, as you drew the children close to your heart. And Father God, we ask you to give us that great love that you have, that divine love, that we will continue to bless the children and send them forth in love, for they are indeed our gifts to the future. Lord God, we ask you to bless this prayer, and we ask you, Lord God, to have it as bread cast upon the water, be a rippling impact on our minds, on our hearts, on our wills, on our hands and on our feet, that we will continue to embrace the little ones around us, and as you said, suffer the children to come unto me. In Jesus' sweet name we pray, and we say amen.
Amen, amen. I tell you what, that was a mighty word, Senator Lewis. We're so grateful that you could join us. We know you have a busy schedule, but we are so grateful for you taking time out to come to Bible Storyland and encourage us. And, you know, as she said, August 29th, 2:05, there was Katrina, and there's going to be a solemn remembrance on the 29th of this year. That'll be coming up this coming week. So be mindful. Remember, she said, remembrance, reflection, and reunion is going to take place. And so we're grateful that you could come on with us and remembrance of deliverance from Katrina, because God brought us a mighty long ways through Katrina.
Amen.
He saved us, and he kept us in a secret place. He kept us in an ark. And I thank you also for those prayers that you pray for our children, because we do have children on, and we have families on who have children in their families. So we're thanking you, Senator Lewis. We just bless you. Thank you again.
God bless everyone. I love you, Bible Land, Bible Storyland family.
And we love you, too. Thank you. Come on again as God leads you.
Thank you, sister. Just continue to pray for me that we're able to do as God directs us, that we'll have the strength, the will, the determination, and the fortitude.
Amen. Let me say a little quick prayer for you now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I lift up your precious daughter, Senator Lewis. Oh, God, I thank you for this mighty woman of God that you put much into, Lord God, and she continues to call upon your name. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare that she is your mighty woman of God, and she will continually yield to you and yield to your will and do your will, O God, as you have instructed her to, O God. Lead her by your precious spirit daily, O God, and as she go in, as she come out, protect her, O God, as she speak as your oracle, O God. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in her life and in the life of your people in Louisiana and throughout the United States. So bless Senator Lewis and her entire family, the state of Louisiana, and all of your people throughout the nation, O God. And Father God, give her the strength. Be her strength. Be her refuge. Be her light. Guide her closer to you, O God. I pray Psalms 91 over her, that she would continually dwell in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under your shadow, O God. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Have a great day.
You too. And you know, the word of God says in Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto him, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And you know, children, I want you to know that you are loved. God loves you. And God cares about you and what happens to you. He sends so many people into your lives to direct you, to help direct you on the right path. So listen to those who have your best interests at heart, not those who want to bring you into destruction. Don't listen to people who want to tell you about drugs or getting into sex early or getting into violence and those things. Listen to the people who says God loves you and God wants this for you and God wants the best for you. So what does God require of our youth today? His word says in Psalms 34:11, come, children, and hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He requires youth to fear him, to reverence him, to highly respect him. That's what he requires of our youth. His word says in Proverbs 10:1, the proverb of Solomon, a wise son or daughter maketh a glad father, but the foolish son or daughter is the heaviness of his mother. He requires our youth to be wise, so their parents can have joy in them. Make wise choices. Think about what you're doing before you do it. And say, is this good for me to do? Will this make my parents happy? Will it make me happy in the long run? If it says yes, go ahead. If it says no, don't do it. You know right from wrong. Proverbs 23:21 says, hearken unto thy father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Father God requires you to respect and love their parents, no matter what ages they are. Ecclesiastes 12 says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. God requires our youth to think of him and obey him while they are young, and to make wise choices, so that when they grow older, they will have no regrets. Ephesians 6, 1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. God requires our youth to obey their parents, those who have rule and authority over them, to respect your father, your mother, and all those who have rule and authority over your principals, your teachers. He requires you to listen and obey them, and this way you will have long lives. All right, so I want you to listen to this reading that someone sent me over the Internet. It says, by a 15-year-old school kid who got an A-plus for this entry. It's totally awesome. Since the Pledge of Allegiance and the Lord's Prayer are not allowed in most public schools anymore because the Word of God is not mentioned, a kid in Arizona wrote the attached school new school prayer. So this is his new prayer. New Pledge of Allegiance. Now I sit me down in school where praying is against the rule. For this great union of him finds, for this great nation under God finds mention of him very odd. If scripture now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights. And any time my head I bow becomes a federal matter now. Our hair can be purple, orange, or green. That's no offense. It's a freedom scene. The law is specific. The law is precise. Prayers spoken aloud are a serious vice. For praying in a public school might offend someone with no faith at all. In silence alone, we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the state. We're allowed to cuss and dress like freaks and pierce our noses, tongues, and cheeks. They've outlawed guns. But first, the Bible, to quote the good book, makes me liable. We can elect a pregnant senior queen and the unwed daddy our senior king. It's inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We're taught that such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and birth controls, study witchcraft, vampires, and totem poles. But the Ten Commandments are not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It's scary here, I must confess, when chaos reigns. The school's a mess. So, Lord, this silent plea I make, should I be shot, my soul to take? Now, you know that was written by a 15-year-old, and he's expressing himself as to what God requires of us, but he's also expressing about what the law has done to change educational system for our children. It allows our children to get condoms in school. It allows them to go to school when they're pregnant. It allows them to be in top areas when they're, they're doing all kind of drugs and what have you. So it's looked like wrong has turned to right and right has turned to wrong, because if the children are praying out loud, it's forbidden. If parents are praying in the school or teachers are praying for the children, it is forbidden. So let us pray together that God will bring prayer back into the school, or that we ourselves will put prayer back in the school. You know, children are allowed to go to school dressed with their dresses way up, up, up. almost their backsides. I went to school a couple of years ago, and I was appalled. And I taught school for 29 years, but I hadn't been in the school for a while. So when I went back into school, I'm like, oh, my God, what is going on? Children walking the halls, running around. Where was the education of our children? When we were in school, the Bible was taught. There was respect. Of course they used the rod of correction, but, of course, that's ruled out now. So everything that will help our children has been ruled out. We have to rule it back in. Like Senator Willard Lewis was saying, you know, we have to stand up for our children. We have to bring prayer back into schools. We have to do these different things that are needed. So respect. When we shut the door to God, the enemy was allowed to come in. So many kids are getting killed in the schools. Look at the Columbine situation that took place. So we have to pray that our children will be safe on the street. We're tired of our land being blood shed with our children all over the streets. So we're repenting before the Lord and asking his forgiveness for us sitting back as godly people and not saying anything, just allowing all kind of stuff to go on around us. Let us wake up and take charge of what's going on around us. Pray to God that he will stop the violence in our city. Stop the drugs in our neighborhood. Stop the children from fighting and killing one another. What does God require of our youth? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is not only for our youth, but this is for us, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this word, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. God is requiring of us as youth, our youth and as adults, to live holy lives, abstaining, keeping from sex until we get married, on drugs and alcohol and all sort of ungodly activities. God requires our youth to dedicate their lives to him while they're young, so the devil won't take them away in their youth. Now, this is a little skit. I read it once before. It's called Mr. Love and Mr. Lust, and I want to share it with you. Mr. Love and Mr. Lust, this is a conversation about a chaste woman. Chaste meaning pure in thought, action, sexually pure, clean, spotless, untouched, virgin. Now, we're talking to young men and to young women. Now, this is the conversation between love and lust. Lust, have you seen my lady, my woman, the love of my life? She's very special and unique woman. Her price is far above rubies. Lust, love. Where should I have seen your lady? How does she look? What makes her so special and unique, as you say? Love. Well, lust, she's different than other women. She is untouched in her body, soul, and spirit. She's beautiful inside out. She has a positive attitude, and she puts God first in her life. She doesn't just go to church and hang with the cliques. She really has a relationship with God. She's no phony. She's genuine. She's real, really real. God is her best friend. She seeks to please him. She checks with the Almighty before she does anything. Lust. Wow. Where did you meet her? How did she get to be so unique? Where can I find a woman like her? I go to church, but I've not seen any such woman or women. Love. Well, I looked everywhere for a woman like her. She is like the woman in Proverbs 31, 1 through 31. I prayed I would find a woman like her. I didn't even meet her in the church. I looked in the church, and to tell you the truth, I couldn't find her. I like her, but she's in love with God. She does like me, and we are dating with other couples only. She's so unique because of her character. She's like so many women in the Bible, like Miriam. She is ambitious. Numbers 12:12. Like Deborah, she's patriotic, Judges 4:4. Like Hannah, she prays much, 1 Samuel 25:3. Like the Shunammite woman, she is hospitable, 2 Kings 4:8 through 10. Like Elizabeth, she is humble, Luke 1:43. Like Lydia, she is a businesswoman, Acts 16:14, 15. Like Dorcas, she is a seamstress, Acts 8:9, 36. Like Mary, she is the mother of Jesus. She is holy, Luke 1:28. Lust, I see what you mean, love. She is so unique. Wow, I'm almost speechless. I don't know of any women like her, like the one you described. I have met many women and ladies, but I'm still looking for that one like that lady. I've looked in parks, movies, plays, different churches. I looked on every pew. I can tell you myself because I had a few. They were touched in their body, not even pure in their thoughts, and surely not in their actions. Love, lust. My lady is a peaceful woman. She doesn't have a degree in fussing, fighting, or slickology. She is a woman of integrity. She also loves to cook and avoids Mickey D's and other such places. May I suggest something to you, lust? Lust. Sure, love. What's up? Love, in order to have a woman like mine, may I suggest, one, give your life to Christ, not to women. Matthew 13:15-18. Hunger and thirst for God, two, not women. Psalms 42:1-2. Three, put God first in your life, not women. Matthew 6:33. Four, please God in everything you do, not women. John 8:29. Then God will allow you to find a woman like mine, Proverbs 18:22. So this morning, we are thanking God for all that he's doing. And I want you to listen to this morning. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The Bible, I love the Bible. It is God's word. I will read it. It is God's word. The Bible, I love the Bible. It is God's word. I will study it. It is God's word. The Bible, I love the Bible. It is God's word. I will obey it. It is God's word. The Bible, the book of God, has 66 books inside of that one big book. The first five books are called the books of Pentateuch, books which means the beginning. The first book, it's also called the book of law. The first book of the Bible is called Genesis, which means beginning. The first scripture, or the words that God spoke in the Bible, says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What powerful words. God is so great, and he is so powerful. He's greater than Superman. He's greater than Spider-Man, all put together. He is a supernatural God. He is so powerful that he created the world and everything in it in 6 days. So on the seventh day, he rested from all that he had created. In the 6 days before, on the first day, he created day and night and a few other things. The second day, the sky and the water. The third day, dry ground, plants and trees. The fourth day, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. The fifth day, he created the birds, the creatures. The sixth day, he created man and woman. And the seventh day, God rested from all of his labor. And we have to rest also. God said everything that he made was good, and it was good. Adam and Eve were the people that God made, and he created them on the sixth day. So when God created Adam, you know, Adam was lonely. So God created Eve by taking Adam and putting him to sleep and taking a rib out of him, and God created Eve, and he blew his breath in man's body, and Adam and Eve became living souls. Adam and Eve were close to God. God gave Adam and Eve a huge garden with everything in it that they needed, food, water, and God loved Adam and Eve so much that he used to visit them in the garden, and he would talk with them just like he talks to us in his word. And he even speaks to us even now. And you know what? Adam and Eve were God's chosen people. He chose them. He created them. And he used to go and visit them. And he gave Adam and Eve one rule. And he said, don't eat of this particular tree in the garden. He gave them all kinds of trees that they could eat from. But you know they chose to the devil went to Eve, and he said, oh, you can have from that tree. God didn't say it like that. You can eat. So she ate off the fruit, and she gave her husband to eat. And that introduced sin into this world. They were the first people who brought sin into the world. So, you know, we have to repent before God because we sin against the Most High God, just like Adam and Eve did. And they cut their relationship with God. You know, they started lying, and all kinds of evil came into the world just because they refused to be obedient to God. So I'm saying to us, let us obey God. One tree only. And they took of that one tree, and it was so many trees that they had to eat up. And, you know, sometimes children, our parents tell us, you know, to do something. They'll say, now, look, these cookies in this jar, don't eat those. But you can have all the cookies. You can have cake if you want it. You can have ice cream. But don't eat these right here. This is for a particular purpose. But, you know, sometimes we're drawn to sin, to do what our parents didn't tell us to do. So that's how Adam and Eve was. And it made God so sad, you know, that Adam and Eve disobeyed him. He was sad that he had made man. That, you know, he knew they were going to do that. So now the loving Father, you know, he has compassion on his people. And he looked over the earth after he told Adam and Eve. He said, you go from the garden. And he gave them instructions what to do. He told them, you multiply and you have children upon the earth. So they did that. Now, because they sinned, they brought rebellion into the earth. Their son, one son killed another son. Then other children were born, and all kinds of sin came into the world, and all kinds of things began to happen. And so God said, you know, he was so sorry that he made man. And I mean, the earth became so wicked. It was so wicked. But God, you know, he has a plan. So he planned something, and he said he went, you know, looking in the earth. He only found one righteous man. And that man found favor in God's eyes. Isn't it great when God can come to you and depend on you and you can find favor in God's eyes? You know, people today find favor in God's eyes. Not just Noah. He created Mr. Noah, and he found favor in God's eyes. Noah and his family were given some instructions by God. Because the earth was so wicked, God wanted to save his people. So he told Noah, he said, Noah, you know, God will tell his people what's going to happen. He said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth by water. It's going to rain. Now, I'm here to tell you it had never rained before. But because Noah knew who God was, he obeyed him. He believed God. He trusted in what God said. He said, I'm going to destroy. He said, so I want you to build me a big boat, called an ark. So God was merciful. He allowed Noah to preach 120 years. Now, I want to tell you that as Noah preached, he preached 120 years. As he preached, he started building on the ark, and he didn't stop. He and his wife, his sons, obeyed God. Noah started building as God told him. God gave him specific instructions. And you know, when God tells us something specific, we must do it exactly like he tells us. So he knew that Noah was going to do exactly like he told him. So Noah and his family got busy. They started doing what God told them. they could do. But, you know, there were people in the earth that God wanted to save. But some of those people did not want to be saved. So, you know, God still wanted them to be saved. So he told Noah, preach to the people. Tell them it's going to rain. I want them saved. You start building on the ark. So as God told Noah, he did just what God said. Now, in Titus 3:3, it says, we ourselves, meaning me and each of you, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice. Malice means the desire to cause pain or injury or distress to another. We're living in envy, to feel resentment, you know, towards someone else. We were hateful, hating one another. Hateful means full of hate, intensity, intense hostility. So God decided, because these people were like that, and even today people are like that, he decided that he would get rid of people like that and start all over with righteous people. So he told Noah, build the ark. So Noah and his sons and family, they started building. So Noah started hammering. He started got his hammer and his nail, and he started building on the ark. And he didn't stop. He kept warning the people as he built. He would take breaks, and he would stop building, and he would tell the people, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And he would go back to hammering and building again. But you know what? People like today, they hear what preachers are saying, and they laugh at him. They laughed at Noah. But Noah didn't care. He kept right on building the ark, just like God told him to do. So one day, God told Noah, he said, okay, it was after 120 years of him preaching, and the ark was complete. And so God said, it's time now. He said, I want you to gather two of every kind of animal, put them in the ark, and your family go into the ark. Now, you know, I want to tell you, I was in Katrina, and God gave me an ark of safety. He didn't even let any water come into that area, into that house where I was staying at the time. And God is faithful to his people now. Just like Senator Lewis said, he saved so many people from destruction. And he wanted to save Noah's people, those people during Noah's time. But you know what? They didn't want to hear. Even now, sometimes God sends different people to us. We don't want to hear it. Children, God sent your parents to correct you and tell you things. Listen to your parents. Now, I want you to listen to this. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. And God saved Noah and his family. It rained 10. It rained 20. It rained 30. It rained 40. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. And God saved Noah and his family. And God saved the animals two by two. He saved the tigers. He saved the lions. He saved the bears. And God saved the elephants, too. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. And God said, stop, no more rain. So I want you to know that God had told Noah what to do, and he was really obedient. He got all the animals. He got the cows in there, in the ark. Put the ducks in the ark. Noah was very obedient. He got all the animals. Put the pigs in the ark. Then it started to rain. Forty nights, and God saved Noah and his family. I mean, it rained, and God saved him. Like today, he saved us. Now remember, it rained 40 days and 40 nights, and God made sure Noah and his family were safe in the ark. And God does the same thing today. He is no respecter of persons. After they were all in the ark, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Now what can we learn from Noah? We can learn to be obedient to God. We can learn ways God's ways are higher, his thoughts are higher. It had never rained before, but God allowed it to rain. When God sent his people to warn us, we must take heed to the warning. We must think like God warned us to think. When he say move, we got to move. Don't you know some people in Katrina, they heard God's voice and they moved, and they got into arcs of safety, and they were safe. You know what? We have to listen to God. We have to be obedient to God, because that's why he destroyed the whole earth at that time, because they were disobedient. Don't you know God will do the same thing today? He will destroy the whole earth. He's no respecter of persons. He loved those people, but they were disobedient. He loved us, and if we're disobedient, he, don't you know, he will do the same thing today. That's a lesson for us. So this morning we have three precious, wonderful children on from Jacksonville, Florida. They're going to sing. Their names is Chantel, and she's 12 years old. Spencer, he's 8, and Christopher is 7. Good morning, children. You are on this morning? Chantel?
Yeah, we're on.
Okay, good morning. How are you all?
We're doing good. We're doing fine.
Very good. We're so happy to have you all on. How's school? You've been in, what, a few days? How's school?
School is doing great. We're having a fun time at school.
Oh, really good. You're learning a lot, I hope.
Huh? Excuse me?
Are you learning a lot?
Oh, yes. I'm learning a lot of new things at school.
Good. So you and your brothers ready to sing?
Yes.
All right. We're ready to listen. Go ahead and sing.
Okay.
Who's that, Spencer?
We're having some difficulties. Come on, Chris.
Okay.
All right. Take your time. Go ahead and... We're waiting for you. Christopher, where's Spencer?
All right. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think.
What you think.
Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think.
What you think.
There's a father up above, and he's looking down on us. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think.
What you think.
Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see.
What you see.
Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see.
What you see.
There's a father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see.
What you see.
So be careful, little ears, what you hear.
What you hear.
Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear.
What you hear.
There's a father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear.
What you hear.
Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say.
What you say.
Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say.
What you say.
There's a father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say.
What you say.
Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch.
What you touch.
Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch.
What you touch.
There's a father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little hands, what you touch.
What you touch.
Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go.
Where you go.
Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go.
Where you go.
There's a father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go.
Where you go.
So be careful, and remember, God loves you.
Woo! Amen, amen. People of God, that you're on and you're on one, press one, clap for the children. Let's all clap for them. Amen, amen, amen. That was awesome. Chantel, Spencer, and Christopher, we thank God for you. We pray God's blessings upon you. You just keep on singing for the God, for the Lord. Keep on singing for the Lord all of your lives for the Lord. So we are so grateful that you all are on this morning. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I love y'all.
Love you too.
Don't hang up yet. We still got more, okay?
Okay.
All right, just hang on. This mighty woman of God has been faithful to come on to Bible Story Land. She is my favorite aunt. She comes on every week. Her name is Mrs. Mildred Brown. God has graced her with abundant life. In June, she turned 101 years young. So she is a powerful voice, and she is going to sing for us this morning in honor of God. Good morning, Aunt Mildred.
Good morning, Clarissa.
You got any water? You need to drink a little swallow of water this morning?
I'm so grateful the Lord woke me up, touched
Amen.
Me with his mighty hand this morning. I'm so grateful to be alive, to be on this wonderful show. And I'm going to try to sing a song that has been on my mind all the time. I'm laden with these heavy burdens. I'm worried with this guilt and shame. Yes, the hands of Jesus touched me, and I no longer feel the same. He touched me. Yes, he touched me. And oh, what joy has been my heart. Something happened. And now I know that he touched me, and he made, I said he touched me, yes, he touched me, and oh, the joy has been my soul. Something happened, and now I know that he touched me, and he made me whole.
Amen, amen. He touched me. There is nothing like God's touch. We're so grateful that he touches us every day and he makes us whole. You know we can't make ourselves whole.
Oh,
we can't do it, but God can do it. And, Mildred, that was beautiful. I thank God for touching you and giving you that song to sing, He Touched Me.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you so much.
Thank you, Lord.
And we love you. All right, we have a precious 7-year-old on this morning. She's from Houston, Texas. Her name is Anaya, and she has come on before, and she has a beautiful voice. Anaya, are you there? Press 1, Bianca, if you're on. Okay, I'm waiting for Bianca to press 1. Okay, she just pressed 1, so hold on, please. Hold on, Bianca.
Okay.
Good morning, Bianca. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning.
Good morning. We have, is Bianca ready? Anaya ready this morning?
Yeah, she's ready.
All right. We thank you so much for bringing her on this morning. How are you, Anaya?
Good.
Okay. How was school, Anaya?
Good.
Oh, great. I'm so happy you could be on. You ready to sing for us this morning? What you going to sing?
Yes, Jesus loves me.
All right. Yes, he does. All right, babe, you can sing now.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And the Bible tells me so. Once we love
little ones,
you belong. They are weak and
but he is strong.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And the Bible tells me so.
Oh, my God, that's just so awesome. You just touched my heart, Anaya. That was so beautiful, girl. I tell you what, you got a beautiful voice. I tell you, the children are on this morning and singing to give God glory. Thank you so much, Anaya. I love you.
You love me, too.
All right, don't hang up. We're still on. Thank you, Mom. All right. I thank God for Deonka and mothers like her, Sean, the mother of the three children, Chantel and Spencer and Christopher. You know, it takes something for mothers to get up early on a Saturday morning after they've gotten up every, you know, day during the week getting their kids ready. So it's a push, but I thank God for you. God bless you. Well, God's word must come forth. Shireen, we're looking for Shireen. Are you on this morning? Press 1 if you're on. Shireen Brown from New Orleans. All right, you're on, Shireen. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm on. Good morning.
Good morning. We're so happy to have you on. Shireen is a mighty woman of God. She's going to bring forth the word this morning. How old are you, Shireen?
I'm sorry.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
She's 28 years young. And God has blessed this young woman with wisdom. Her father's a pastor. Her mother's a great woman of God. Her family's saved. And we're so happy that Shireen could come on with us this morning to bring the word. All right. You ready, Shireen?
All right. Yes, I am.
All right, go ahead.
I just want to say I pray this morning. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you just use me, Father God, as your child, Father God, to say what you want me to say, Father God. And I pray that the listeners, Father God, that you touch their ears and their heart, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 5, verse 3. It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. I'm going to focus in on perseverance. What is perseverance? Perseverance is commitment, hard work, patience, endurance. Perseverance is being able to bear difficulties calmly and without complaint. Perseverance is trying again and again and over and over and over again, even when it seems like nothing's going to happen. You show perseverance when you give up your TV time to spend hours studying. Try a new sport that is very difficult, but you don't give up. Have a learning disability, but you keep studying even when you're discouraged. Come from a home where there is fighting and unhappiness, but you still try your best. You may have missed a week of school, but you work hard to catch up. Are you at the end of your difficult race, but you cross the finish line? You save money and make sacrifices to buy something. You spend hours practicing on your music. You study and work hard to raise your grade. You try for something that you weren't successful with at the first time. Perseverance is really important. It builds our character and it gives our character hope. I also want to talk about the people who persevered despite handicaps and difficulties. Abraham and Sarah kept trying for 100 years to have a baby, but they didn't give up. Beethoven was a consumer. He was deaf, but he kept trying. Ray Charles was a musician, and he was blind, but he still sung. Thomas Edison was an inventor. He had a learning ability. Albert Einstein was a scientist who had a learning disability. Terry Fox was a runner with cancer, but he still ran. Stevie Wonder was a musician, and he was blind, but he still sung. James Earl Johnson was an actor. He was a stutterer. Moses was a stutterer, but he still did what God asked him to do. Helen Keller was an author, was deaf and blind. Marilyn Martine was an actress and deaf. And Franklin Roosevelt was a president who was paralyzed, and he still was a president. And it's just so many more. It's just so many times that we want to give up. But God says keep pushing through it all, no matter when it seems like nothing's going to happen, when it feels like you can't do it, when you feel like you can't sing, when you feel like you can't go to school, when you feel like you're not going to make it, God says keep pushing and keep trying. Thank you for this morning.
Amen. What a great word. Perseverance. Keep moving forward. Pushing. She talked about Abraham and Sarah and how they didn't give up, and she talked about perseverance builds character. I thank God for that word this morning from Romans 5 and 3. What a mighty word from a mighty young woman of God, 28 years young, just beginning her life. So I thank God for you, Shireen. Shireen, I tell you, I tell you what, that was a mighty word. It was a power-packed message. It was brief, but it was to the point. And you know, Shireen is like that also. She preached on that woman, that word perseverance. But she's been pressing her way and pressing her way and pressing her way. And God has given her victory after victory after victory. She and her family were in Katrina also. But I thank God that he has preserved them and given them perseverance to keep striving to do the right thing and to keep. She says, don't give up. Keep pushing. And, you know, push means pray until something happens. That's what push stands for. So we're not going to give up. We're going to keep praying until something happens. So we thank God for that word. Shireen, how you doing, girl?
I'm doing fine.
All right. That was a mighty word. What about your sister? Is she going to be on?
No, she's still
okay.
She's still knocked out sleep.
That's right, sweetie. But I thank God for the word that he gave you this morning that he put in your mouth. Now, you know, as we continue on Bible Storyland, Isaiah 54:13 says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Parents, this is where you come in. God has given you parental duties so your children can learn of him and obey him. So, like Cynthia Lewis was saying this morning, Senator Lewis, she was saying, you know, God talks to parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and aunts and uncles to help out with the family responsibility of our children. So listen as I share these things with you this morning. Parents, God is calling you. He's giving you duties for the children. He said to teach the children, Deuteronomy 6:7, to train the children in his ways. Proverbs 22:6, to provide for the children. You know, a lot of children provide for their parents. Their parents are strung out on drugs, or maybe their parents are sick. And they can't. So the children, God will raise them up to take care of their mothers or their fathers. God wants us to nurture the children. You know, love on the children. Just, you know, make sure that they're, you know, have everything that they need. Just care about them. Hug them. Encourage them. He also wants us to control the children. You know, when I worked in the public schools, a lot of children were just out of control. You call their parents and they go like, what you calling me for? You got them. No, God called parents to get them under control while they're young. God called parents to love the children. You know, you have to love on your children. That will teach them to love other people. If you downgrade them and beat on them and tell them how ugly they are and they can't do this and they like so-and-so, you're speaking curses on them. But God said, no, we have to speak blessings on our children. He blessed them. Jesus did. He blessed them, and he laid hands and prayed for them. So we have to do the same thing now. God is also calling parents to correct the children. He said, spare. He said, he that spareth the rod hate his son or his daughter, but he that loveth him will chasten him betimes. He'll chasten him early. You know, if your child did something 2 weeks ago, don't beat him after 2 weeks. Get it right then. You know, if we were cutting up in church, our parents took us out and got us right then. They may even whipped you right then. You were cutting up at school, they came up there and they got you right then. You cut up in a restaurant or somewhere, you acted up, they whipped you right then. So you have to do it right then. Proverbs 19:18 says, chasten your son and daughter while there's still hope, and let not your soul spare for their crying. You know, we have to do it while they're young. We have to correct them. If they're getting into trouble, even when they're crawling around, just take them and put them in their little cart. Not the little cart, their little carriage. Say, baby, they understand when they're 6, 7, 8 months old, younger than that. I'm putting you here because I told you don't crawl over there and eat that dirt off the floor. Whatever it is, you don't always have to, you know, smack them on their little hand. You can just take them away. Now, if they keep doing it, you may have to smack them to stop them. So they'll understand. They understand it months old. Our parents did it to us when we were babies. And I tell you what, I thank God today for the correction that my parents did for me. And children, you will thank God later in your life for what your parents did in correcting you. Proverbs 23:13 says, withhold not correction from your children, for if you beat him with the rod, they will not die. We're also parents instructed to instruct our children. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things. That's in Deuteronomy 4:9. Isaiah 28:29 says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So that's young. That's a young baby. You know, when you take them off the milk, you can still be teaching them. You can teach them even before they get off of the milk, and you can teach them while they're on the milk. And especially when they get off, you can continually teach them. So don't forget. Don't look for the Sunday school teacher to teach your children about God. Don't look for the teachers at the school, even if you send them to a Christian school. You, God called you to teach your children about him. It's never too late. Now I want to ask if there's anyone on the line who is not saved. Press 1. We want to offer salvation to you this morning. Anybody on the line who is not saved? All right, well, I thank God for salvation for each of us that are saved, and we pray for those who are not saved that they will be saved, that they will be saved, that they will come to the knowledge of God, and that they will be saved, that he will call them out of darkness into his marvelous light to do great and mighty exploits in his name. Because you know God is a good God and he's faithful. He saved Noah and all the people on the ark. He wanted to save a whole generation of people, so don't wait. Like the people during Noah's time, see, God shut the door. So don't wait for God to shut the door, because then it was too late. You know, Noah was human. He probably wanted to open the door to the ark and let the people in. They were probably swimming towards the ark at that time, but it was too late. So while the ark of safety is open, make sure you call upon the name of God. Well, it's time again to bring forth your prayer request. So press 1 if you're on and you have not made your prayer request. We're thanking God for a prayer request this morning, and he will answer.
This is Aunt Mildred, and I would like a request for my granddaughter. She's not feeling well. Her husband is homesick, and the young son had problems with his foot. So I'm asking prayer for that, all three of them, that
Amen.
Lord lift them up and heal them and the rest of my family. And this program that's on, I wish him much success, keep on keeping on, because there's prayer for you everywhere, and prayer is the key. So I'm praying for you, Coretha.
Thank you so much.
Wishing everybody the best that was on this program this morning, and those children, nothing like them. We're just so thankful for our children. Pray for them all the time. And I want to ask you children, don't you love the Lord? I'm sure you do. Your parents have told you that. So you keep on obeying your parents, reading, and they show you what to read about the Bible. Studying God's word as you grow, and you'll see how wonderful life will be for you every day. I love you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Aunt Mildred. Any more prayer requests? Any more prayer requests. We're open for prayer this morning. Well, I want to make a prayer request for that the Lord would continually use me to do his will and that I would continually be obedient to God. Any more prayer requests? I also want to lift up our children all over the world, particularly the children that come on Bible Story Land monthly. I would like prayer for them. Any more prayer requests? Okay, let me see if anybody pressed one and I did not allow you to come on yet, so please forgive me. Some people are pressing one here. All right, 904-747. You're on. You have a prayer request? Hello? 903-747. I'm sorry, you on? Avis, is that you? Okay, I couldn't hear her. I don't know what happened. Hold on, someone else is on. Hello? Sister Martha, is that you? I don't know what's happening. I'm trying to let people on this morning. Hold on, please.
Hello?
All right. Sister Martha from Kalamazoo, is that you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
God bless you, first of all, Carita, for the work that you do. Pray for yourself that the Lord will continue to give you that wisdom and that strength and knowledge and that perseverance that you continually have. And for the children, oh, God bless them. They just came forth and just they weren't afraid. They just sang. And the young lady that gave the word and Aunt Mildred, especially Aunt Mildred, you're such an inspiration to me just listening to you and just hearing you and the wisdom that you have. And pray a special prayer for those people that's in the hurricane and all the preparation that they're trying to do. But God will do what he will do. And we just pray that those who possibly are in harm's way and may not make it, that they do know the Lord and that they are saved. But just give them what they need and help us to do that which we need to do while we're still have breath in our body. And thank you for the program. It's a beautiful program as always.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Martha. Anybody else? Prayer request. Prayer request. Press 1 if you have a prayer request. All right. I'm looking for Sister Brenda this morning. Press 1 if you're on, Sister Brenda. Okay. All right. I don't see her on yet. So I'm going to lift you up in prayer this morning. I thank God for each of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we're just so grateful that you are the Most High God. We're grateful that it's nothing too difficult for you. We're grateful, Father God, that you chose us to be your very elect children, O God, that you brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light, O God. We're grateful that you called us to be your children, Father God. Oh, Father God, we're just so grateful to you that you are the God, the true and only living God, that you are Father, that you are our Lord, that you are our shepherd. And, Father, I come on behalf of my cousin Cheryl, her husband, and her son, and I just ask you to touch them with your healing power from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. I lift up every member of our family, oh God. I thank you for drawing us closer with you, closer with each other. My family members that are not saved, oh God, I lift them up. And I thank you for salvation for them. My family members all over the world, oh God, touch them, Father God. Have your way, Father God. And, Father, I just thank you for Bible Storyland and the children that come on, oh God. I thank you, Father God, for being with the children, Father God. For walking with the children, talking with them, being a lamp and a light to their pathway, Father God. And, Father, I just thank you for what you're doing through the children, oh, God. Continually draw the children closer to you, Father God, closer with their families, oh, God. I pray a spirit of obedience upon our children, oh, God, so they can live long upon the land, oh, God. We just bless you, Father God, for what you're doing in the earth realm for your people, oh, God. Father, I thank you for Sister Martha. I thank you for all that you're doing on her behalf as she continually honor you, glorify you, magnify you, as she continually serve you, Father God. as she continue to be obedient and honor you, oh God. And Father, I lift up all the people in the path that may be in the path of Hurricane Irene. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for destroying Hurricane Irene. Go into the eye of the hurricane, Father God, and knock it out, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Everywhere she tries to land, oh God, in the waters, oh God, we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to put cold temperatures in the waters, oh God, so that Irene can die quickly, oh God. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, in the areas where there's lots of rain and wind and all kinds of things that could come forth, like tornadoes or hail, we ask you to cover the people in New York and Wisconsin and D.C. and those areas, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Provide food for them, oh God. Provide everything that they need, oh God. Have your way in their lives. Draw them closer to you, Father God, not just for a season, but let them stay close to you, Father God, the rest of their lives, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let them call upon you. You said every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, oh God, that you are Lord. So we say that you are Lord. You are Lord. You are Lord. And we honor your holy presence this morning, oh God. I lift up each and every person on Bible Story Land, those that came on, those that went off, those that will come on in the future, those that have ever been on, Lord God, I ask you for special blessings for them, Father God, for their families, especially the children, oh God. Move mighty by your spirit, oh God. Those that may have ailments in their body, heal, oh God. Those who may have problems with having peace of mind, we ask you to give them peace of mind. Those that need supplies, supply their needs. Those that need whatever their needs are, meet their needs, oh God. If they need peace from you, give them peace that passes all human understanding. Whatever is needed, supply. You are a great and mighty provider, and we depend totally on you for our very breath. We depend totally on you for everything. Move mildly, especially for the children that came on today. Give them and their families a special blessing today, oh God. Bless the children as they go to school, as they come home on the school buses. Provide safety everywhere they go. Everywhere they go, God. And Father, may they follow you all the days of their lives and be obedient to you, like Samuel, like Joseph, like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we honor your holy presence this morning, oh God. Have your way in each of us, oh God. I thank you for families, oh God. I thank you for what you're doing for us in the mighty, holy, righteous name of Jesus. Even those who didn't make requests, hear their silent requests, oh God. Move mightily for your people today, oh God. And we bless and we honor you in Jesus' holy name, we pray. Now, Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We honor you, O Most High. Be blessed, O Lord. Be blessed, O Lord. We glorify you. We magnify your name in the earth realm. And we say you are holy, holy, holy are you, O God. The angel spoke that you are holy. And we say that you are holy, holy, O God. And we bless your name in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. All right, we got about another few more minutes. Anybody got a brief testimony? Testimony time. All right. Looks like people are quiet this morning. Well, I want to say, does anyone have anything to say? If you do, go ahead and press 1. Okay. People are kind of quiet this morning. Well, I thank God for each of you coming on Bible Storyland this morning. I appreciate you taking time to come on with us and to spend time praising God with us. You are blessed and highly favored. I love each of you. I look forward to hearing from each of you next week, 8 a.m. Central Time, Central Standard Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Bible Storyland. Dial the same number, 1-619-789-4313. All right, next week will be Senior Citizens Day. So I look forward to being with each of you. I love you. God loves you. Have a God-filled day, a God-filled week, a God-filled month, and a God-filled year. God bless you. I love you. Talk to you soon. You can hang up anytime you like. And Meldon, you still there? Oh, okay.